Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a quiet family haunting started with a game and ended with unanswered questions.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey there, thank you very much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, I got an idea. Share it with us. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you'd like. You get no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at Ghost Podcast. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here today.
I am.
I am actually lucky to be here today because this morning, Kathy knows this because she is staying at my house. And I came in from walking my dog. I'm like, I almost got hit by a car.
Yeah.
It's like I'm walking my dog and I'm just like half a block away. There's a dirt road and it's got a lot of, you know, it's been a lot of rain around here. And so it's got those really deep ruts in it. Mm-hmm. So you don't, like I told Kathy, if you're driving my car, don't even bother going down that road. It's really bad. And so I don't know if this car hit those and turned real quick to get away from him, but
or was trying to avoid him.
He was inches from me and my dog. And like so close, I felt the wind of his car against me. And I screamed and like I pulled Benji in real close as I could because it all happened so fast. But I bet he was less than a foot from Benji.
Well, and you're lucky Benji wasn't out farther.
Yeah.
Because Benji'd have been hit.
Yeah. Because like people go really slow down that road because it's like boom, 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 boom. Nobody goes fast. This guy, I don't think, knew it. So he's going fast and then he just swerves over and like, oh my God. Like it made me just
it's scary.
Freak out because that would have been a hospitalization.
Oh, at least. And I had it happen to me once where when I was living out in Western Kansas, and there was a kid in the neighborhood who always drove like a bat out of hell. You know, he just did. And we were all always complaining about him. And one day, same thing. I'm out for a walk and he goes by so quick. I felt it on my coat.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Scared the it does. Shit out of me.
And you know what? It will scare the shit out of you for years to come. Every time you think about it, because it is
something I'm always aware of, which is why I never walk with headphones or mm-hmm. sometimes I'll listen to the Cubs game on my phone just with a speaker on my phone because I always want to hear cars if they're around me. So I heard the guy coming up and I got Benji close. Mm. Thank God.
Oh.
Because he did not see us at all.
So scary.
Son of a bitch. Oh. So here's our first story today. It says, I usually don't write this kind of stuff down, but people always tell me I should. So here's one that still creeps me out in the nicest way possible. Oh. I don't know that we've ever had a story that it's like it creeped me out in a nice way. Short version, after my son was born, a couple of different things started showing up in my mom's house. They weren't scary exactly, more like interruptions, but they stuck around long enough that we had to notice. My mom's living room opens into the dining room through a wide archway. It's the kind of house where everyone lands in the living room, shoes off, coffee in hand. One afternoon I was there with Chris. It's her son. She got Chris too.
You know what? I tell you, they'll grow up to be great, even if they haven't grown up.
With that name, wonderful. They're destined to be great.
That's right.
He was maybe 9 months old, and we were parked on the couch closest to that archway. My mom was in the kitchen. I caught movement out of the corner of my eye, a shaded shape, peeking from the side of the wall where the archway met the dining room. It wasn't a fully formed person. It was more like a dark smudge that had the shape of a head and shoulder, then ducked back out of sight. I turned to my mom and asked, "Did you see that?" She didn't blink at first. And then she said, I wondered if you would. Apparently, she'd been seeing the same little peek for a few days but hadn't said anything. She wanted to know if I'd noticed the same thing. We started watching for it more often after that. It would show up during the day, usually when the house was quiet. It was small, harmless seeming. One day, it got plain silly. I was on the couch with Chris on my lap, and the figure popped its head, that's in quotes, around the corner and Chris started laughing, this loud, delighted baby laugh. The shape did it again and again. We both just watched. It was the strangest thing, a ghost playing peekaboo with my son. The figure would poke its head out, duck away, then peek once more, then stop when my mom said something in a slightly incredulous voice. Every time it happened, Chris went from full-on giggle to wide-eyed wonder like he'd been let in on a secret. That first presence smelled like That first presence felt like a small resident of the house, curious and playful. It never touched anything, never moved past the arch, and it seemed content to be seen and then vanish. And if I'm honest, I found it kind of charming in the way you'd find a stray cat charming until it claws up your favorite chair. Then a month later, we began to notice something else. One night, I had put Chris in his crib and was standing at my dresser folding laundry. The bathroom door is to the left of that dresser, and I heard the distinct little snap of my mom cracking her knuckles and then bare feet on linoleum, the sound you know in a house so well, they feel like part of the floor plan. I looked up instinctively and I saw her, a pale glowing figure in a flowing nightgown, just at the doorway. She seemed to be lit from within, white but not harsh, like someone backlit by moonlight maybe. I only saw her for a split second before she faded away. I didn't tell anyone right away. Maybe I should have. Maybe I was trying to be sure I wasn't losing it. But then I saw her again, a few nights later during a commercial break. I stepped away from the TV to pee, came back. There she was, this time floating, not standing, directly above Chris's crib, right where the ceiling meets the wall. She drifted up, paused, then melted into the plaster. It was unsettling in a different way than the peekaboo figure. This white woman felt watchful, not threatening, but serious, like she had something small and important on her mind. I mentioned it to my mom when she got home from work, and she went quiet. She said something I didn't expect. When you were born, my aunt used to come by and sit in that corner. She always liked a cup of tea, and she wore long dresses. A week later, I drove out of state to visit my aunt and grandmother. My kiddo and I stayed at their house for a couple of nights. It was late. Everyone was in bed. I went downstairs for a sandwich and a glass of milk. I turned from the fridge, and there she was again. Same white dress, same slow, quiet presence, standing by the window, like she'd been waiting for me to notice. She was there for such a clean, tiny second and then gone. Seeing her in another house, not my mom's place, was the tipping point. This wasn't a trick of the light or a house-shaped hallucination. It followed me, or maybe it followed family. After that, I put the pieces together with my mom. She remembered an aunt, Aunt Ruth, who lived long enough to be a character in half the family stories. Ruth never had any kids of her own, and from what my mom said, Ruth had been close to the family, came over a lot when my mom was pregnant with me, liked to sit near the window in every house she lived in. She died years before Chris was born, but my mom and I both started thinking the spectral woman might be Ruth, or someone with the same habits and the same unfinished things. There's one thing that's true about kids and spirits in our family lore. Babies don't lie. My son laughed at the first shadow and reached out for it like he thought it was his playmate. He didn't cry at the glowing woman. He watched her like he was considering whether to offer her a toy. Kids register things differently. They don't have the filters adults do. We never had anything violent happen, no dramatic possessions or door slamming. The two presences stayed small and domestic. The dark one played with Chris from the archway like it belonged to the hallway. The white woman appeared now and then, always near a crib or a window, and always with this patient air about her. When I asked my mom if she did think it was Ruth, she shrugged and said she hoped so, that it might be someone who wanted to meet the new baby and to check in. At this point, I feel like we've got two problems and two small comforts. The problem is the house isn't as quiet as it used to be at night. The comfort is that nothing dangerous has happened. I like to think someone from the past is checking in on the newest person in the family, like a relative who finally got her visit. If you ask me what to do about it, I'd say leave a light on by the crib, put a little chair in the corner that Ruth would like, and say hello when you see something. The worst thing we did was pretend nothing happened. The best thing we did was let Chris giggle at the dark smudge and let the pale woman have her quiet rounds. Might sound naive. Maybe it's the only practical kindness in a world where not everything needs an explanation. They don't bother us. Mostly they remind us we belong to a longer line of people than we remember. That's from Janie. That is kind of an interesting story, isn't it? Well, like, I like her take on it.
You know, I like that last line there, or one of the last lines, that not everything needs an explanation, or we don't always get one.
Right. And it's just kind of nice to, you'll never know what it is, how it happens, by just accepting it. Mm-hmm. It's not hurting anybody. And the one seems playful, the other seems watchful and caring.
And if you want to call it Aunt Ruth,
yeah,
call it Aunt Ruth. If that, you know, gives you some sort of comfort. I'm not, you know, I'm not particularly convinced it's Aunt Ruth, but what would I know? Not my family dynamic.
The reason I think it might be Aunt Ruth is that when she went to the grandma's house, I'm assuming Aunt Ruth is connected with that side of the family and she saw it at the grandma's house.
Could be. Or it could be just with them.
Yeah, it could have just followed him. But Aunt Ruth is like, hey, I'm down for a trip to my mom's house.
Well, and you know, we do get these stories occasionally with a spirit that interacts with a baby. Mm-hmm. The baby's like sitting up in the crib laughing at something in the corner. There's nothing there. Seems to be smiling and something seems to be comforting the baby. And I think it does feel like that's what's going on here. And the baby seems to get some, you know, it seems to be amused at the very least by this thing. And I think I would just be okay with that. Let it go for a while. Yeah. If there doesn't seem, it seems to be actually kind of nice where you have something that seems to be kind of watching and making sure the baby's okay. Right? So I'm with you. Like when the story started and you and I were both like, creeped out in a nice way. What do you mean? Well,
it is,
I do know what you mean now.
In a nice way.
Yeah.
You don't normally hear stories like that. But it is kind of comforting if you think it's your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you give the ghostly presence a familiar person, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, Aunt Ruth. Of course right. It's Aunt Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Then you wouldn't find it so scary.
Right.
Because, you know, you would think Aunt Ruth is there to watch over the baby. And if anything should ever happen to the baby, I've got Aunt Ruth. Like, you kind of added on a little bit of a superpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I like the fact that things were going on and her mom said, she said to her mom, did you see that? And she's like, yeah. You know, like, I didn't want to say anything because, you know, that's a really good approach. Just to let it go to see if someone else sees it. Don't put it in their head. Just see.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody else can see it.
I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's go to this call.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. I'm calling to tell you about a story that happened when my daughter was 2 weeks old. She is going to be 30 in May. My Uncle Steve used to live in this house by the post office in Colorado. And this house had like a basement that you would go downstairs and it had all this old like newspaper clippings from like the 1940s. It was weird. They were all pasted all over the wall. And there was this spot, like this like room that was like cement downstairs. And it said, beware of the nurse in the green room. Well, my uncle used to raise German Shepherds and they'd be in the backyard. So my daughter was about 2 weeks old and we went to my boyfriend's cousin's wedding and I left her with my aunt and my uncle at that house. And I always used to get a weird feeling. I used to see a shadow and stuff go by and stuff. So the night we left her, we knocked on the front door and nobody answered. We got there about 12, a little bit after 12. And I walked, we walked to the back and the dogs were barking. Well, I thought they were barking at us, but they, you know, cause I told them, shut up, Shiloh, shut up. And then, I was like, I could hear something go like that. And I was like, Steve, I was like, the baby's crying. My aunt don't hear it. And he's like, no, 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 just keep knocking. And then like the basement window and my aunt's window are like, you know, level to each other. So if you look up my aunt's window and look down, that was the basement window. And I kept saying, no, there's something there. There's something there. And he's like, stop it, Steph, stop it. There's nothing there. And we looked down and there was these red eyes in the window. And I got my hair stood up on, and the dog started like charging, barking, barking, barking. And I started banging all harder. And then all of a sudden you just seen those eyes go to the house next door. It was really weird. It was something that I've never experienced. And then like a couple weeks later, I stayed the night with the baby with my daughter at my uncle's house. And I was sleeping in the back room, like by where the downstairs where all those newspaper clippings were. And you just seen the shadow of this little old lady walk right by us. I guess the story was a lady got burnt in that house and they found her in that room. So I just wanted to tell my story. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
That was creepy.
Okay.
I can't imagine going back there after the red eye situation, going, I'll sleep in the basement with all the creepy newspaper clippings all over the walls.
Okay, so I have to back up because I think you need to explain this to me. Where was the sign? Was it just a newspaper clipping that said, beware of the nurse in the green room?
I kind of assumed that.
Okay.
And I wonder if it's actual newspaper clippings. Or back in the day, way, way, way back when, they put up newspapers to kind of insulate the house. Mm-hmm. So when you're done reading the newspaper, you just go tack it up for a little more insulation. Yeah. So I was kind of wondering if that's what it was, or it could have been newspaper clippings, which sounds like an obsessive uncle clipping. Well,
that'd be weird.
Our mother.
Yes, it sounds just like our mother.
She just never put them all over the basement walls. But she did a lot of clipping of the newspaper.
She just put them in boxes.
Yeah. Lots of boxes. So I kind of wondered if that's really what was going on, if the uncle really had it more like for insulation.
All right. And so the next thing I need clarification on are the red eyes.
I don't have clarification.
So they see red eyes in the window, but then the red eyes go to the house next door.
It looked like the red eyes moved and just started heading towards the next door neighbor.
Okay. Because I was trying to get my head around what that was.
The way
she
said that, that's what I assumed.
Okay.
Like neighbors over there, it's obviously going that direction.
Then we have a shadow that seems to be of an old lady.
Yeah. And there was an old lady who died in the house in a fire.
Mm-hmm. And then just a creepy overall vibe of.
But there is no way I'm going to go spend the night in that basement after I saw the red eyes. And then she goes back with her child and it's like, well, stay in the basement. Maybe that's the only option. And maybe she was in a situation where she needed a place to stay and that was the only option, I guess.
True. Yeah, you know, we can't.
Dang.
Yeah. Whoa. I just don't even know what to say. If there's red eyes in the basement, I think I'm out. Like, I would have to say, Uncle, whatever his name is, could I sleep on the sofa upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I'm downstairs.
Get an air mattress. Can I do anything?
There's absolutely zero way I'd be downstairs after I saw red eyes in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
But I think there was something going on in that house,
absolutely.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one more story.
This is Mary in Oxnard, California. I grew up in a house where several things happened, footsteps. My brother would wake up with nosebleeds, things like that. My mom was a single parent raising us, and so, you know, sometimes she would be afraid, and she'd take us to her bedroom, and she would put the dresser up against the door and then the bed up against the door. Well, the scariest thing that's ever happened, and that's not explainable, is I got woken up by my mom, and she was saying, you know, hey, there's something at the door. Call the police. And I'm like waking up out of it and she's going, call the police. There's somebody at the door. And I hear this knock, knock, knock. And it's quiet. And then you hear this knock, knock, knock. And so I roll over, I pick up the phone, and, you know, at that time you dial zero, and you say, police department, you know, somebody's outside our bedroom door, they're knocking, you know. And then I fell asleep to just that regular rhythm of knock, knock, knock. I woken up, I don't know how much later, and I was just a little girl. I mean, I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I heard this, do, 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 do. Police department, open up, do, 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 do. And it was still dark out. I was too afraid, and plus I was little, I couldn't move the bed or the dresser. And there's no way I'm going outside my mom's bedroom door. So I opened up the bathroom window, and I yelled, they're gone, you know. And then the next morning came, and the sunshine was in the room. We moved the bed, we moved the dresser, and there was nothing out there. So that's the scariest thing that ever happened. I think possibly the house was built on Indian burial ground, but who knows? I used to find the arrowheads out in our front yard, you know, when we're digging, playing, you know, with the cars, you know, digging holes and playing in the mud, you know, and you'd find an arrowhead. And, you know, back then I didn't know that I should have saved them. There's been a few other occasions, you know, where you hear the cupboard doors opening and closing. You hear the door, the chairs in the kitchen scraping. I can't talk to my mom about it anymore. She has Alzheimer's. So your input is appreciated, and thank you very much for listening to me. You guys have a wonderful day. Bye.
So I was a little confused because the mom put the dresser and everything in front of the door. So the mom was in the room with them, right? Or they couldn't get out. Did the mom shut them in the...
I'm confused because I thought the way... Or was she putting furniture against the outside of...
Yeah, because was she kind of locking them in so they can't get out, which seems really weird.
But I thought the mom was in there telling her
to... That's what I kind of thought.
Yeah. And why the mom didn't talk to the police if she was in there. Why the little girl was talking to the police.
Yeah, so I'm a little confused in that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's... knockings that it sounds like there was hauntings going on in that house, obviously, you know, with cupboards and different things outside of that night. But I think the knocking thing could be a number of things. Like you could have had a raccoon in your ceiling or something up in your attic. You know, there's some things, but it happened to me one night. I was sound asleep and I heard this knocking. It's like knock, 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 but it was inside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it can't be a mouse because a mouse couldn't knock that loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd hear it again. And I had Buddy at the time. He's kind of like looking around. And finally I got up because it seemed like it was coming from around my piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there looking at the piano and I heard it again. Knock, knock, knock. And it's like happening right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I run back into my bedroom, jump back in, because I don't know what to do. And John, my roommate, he's in his room. He doesn't hear anything. And I run back in there. Buddy comes in with me. The next day, I told John, I'm like, can you, because I don't want to look, because what if it was some huge raccoon that somehow got behind the piano, which makes no sense because there wasn't that much room. But so John pulls out the piano and there's nothing there. I don't know what it was. I, to this day, don't know what it was. It wasn't from outside. It wasn't anybody knocking on the door. It was somebody knocking in the house. It couldn't have been in the walls because a raccoon wouldn't fit or something that big enough to make that sound. And so it sounded like whatever was going on there, it was pretty loud and to the point they called the cops.
You know... I might have a little different twist on this. I think you're right, and everybody's right. This could be something paranormal. But I feel like immediately the mother is afraid. Like, before we get to this night.
Right, because like she's reacting in a way like she has a stalker or something.
That's what I'm saying. And maybe you're too young to know it, but I think mom might have been afraid of someone.
Yeah.
And they came to the house that night and were just terrorizing her.
Because whatever it was, mom, like, did mom do that on a regular basis?
I took it as maybe she's a single mom. It didn't seem to be a dad mentioned in this story. But I wonder if there was somebody that was really terrorizing the mother. And so she had him call the police. And, you know, I'm saying call the police because, you know, I just have a feeling that there might be something bigger to this story.
And if she did that with the kids in that room and telling them to call the police, so she's obviously not wanting something to get to her kids. Like, she's out there willing to face it to protect her kids.
Yeah, or something. I just wonder if there's a deeper story here.
So there could be two totally different things. Mm-hmm. She could be living in a haunted house.
Right.
And mom has a person terrorizing her.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So we could have both things.
Yeah, Kathy.
Both things
could be
true. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the mom was immediately trying to protect everybody by pushing furniture up and
she
doing
was.
Things.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, let's face it, guys. Furniture ain't going to do nothing against the paranormal, but it might keep some guy out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're a ghost, you could get in. Oh. You'd be like... Funny. Think you know. The dresser can keep me out.
Yeah, but I just feel like mom was maybe being stalked or terrorized.
I'm with
by
you on that one. I do, and I think there are two different things going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, don't forget you can join us Monday nights, 8 o'clock Central on YouTube for Real Ghost Stories Live. You can share those stories with us at 855-853-4802 or write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber, get advanced episodes, access to the archive without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, Patreon.com, Real Ghost Stories, or GhostPodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.